All right, let me get past that. Yeah, here we go. So after the message, we'll take a second offering. It's the only time of the year that we say, please give. We want you to give. We want your money because we know where it'll go. And none of it goes to salaries. None of it goes to enriching anybody. It all goes to missionaries, to local missions with the least of these, and then to Gap Fund and for those who are hurting, and then for hopefully beginning to leave a legacy with this building. So that's where we're going with it. Mary's story. You heard a little bit about Zechariah and Elizabeth last week. I want to go back and just kind of remind you. So let me see if I can't do that in the Star Wars way. Did it show up? Yes, it worked! Oh, dude, I spent 8 hours. No, I didn't. I wouldn't do that. So Zechariah is told he's going to have a baby, and he questions it. He's like, well, past childbearing years. She can't do this. Like, all the processes that would allow her to have a baby have stopped. We're past the time. And yes, it's a curse because people think that we must have done something wrong, that God would not give us a baby. And he's questioning it. And when he questions it, Gabriel says, well, how do I know? I'm Gabriel. That's how an angel's talking to you. What do you mean, how do you know? You're mute. You're not going to say a word until she has the baby. He goes home, and because he's not talking, he gets lucky. They have a baby. That's the way it works. I figure. Guys, shut up. That's all I'm saying. Next. It's been a couple of minutes since I've been up here. Elizabeth is past childbearing age, but she's pregnant, and God is at work. Oh, and by the way, Gabriel's a bit of a gossip. We'll see that today. And so that brings us up to, after 400 years of silence, God shows up and there's an impossible pregnancy. There's going to be a second impossible pregnancy. Mary's is not the first. She's the second within this time. She's going to experience something she's never experienced before. So let's do Luke 1. Let's jump into this thing together. In the sixth month, God starts a calendar. And his calendar starts with an old woman being pregnant when it is impossible. That is his calendar. It's based on the pregnancy of a poor old woman in a forgotten little podunk town. I don't know that we're ever even told what the name of the town is because it doesn't matter. She's well past childbearing years because, listen, we say this every year, but it's so important. Impossible is God's starting point. That's where God begins to work. What is impossible with man is possible with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible with God. And so he starts his calendar there in the sixth month of her pregnancy. She's now 6 months along. You ladies know this. If you've been through the pain of losing a child, and I'm so sorry if you have, you know that next child, you wait a little while right before you say a word to anyone. She's now 6 months along. She's now out in public, people are seeing. And this impossibly old, wrinkled woman is swelling with this baby growing, John, who's going to preach repentance and prepare the way for the Lord. So God has started his calendar in the sixth month. The angel Gabriel is sent again on another mission, and this time he is sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, a podunk little backwater town. We call it Montville. If you're from Montville, there's a church right down the road. We love you. I'm so sorry. Well, podunk town, Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. So the angel visits this backwater little town. And it's like saying an angel just showed up where? Shawsville. What? Like, why? Why? Why would you? Okay, if you're from Shawsville, we love you. Don't leave. We're losing too many people. She's maybe 15 years old, 14, 15, somewhere thereabouts. I think Jonathan kind of hit it last week. She is betrothed, and if you haven't heard it, let me make sure we're on the same page. Betrothed means that she has pledged herself to Joseph. He has pledged himself to her. They have not been together. They're not in the same house, but they are contracted to be together. They will get married. He is right now doing something that I think would be amazing if we did this in our day and our age. He's over there getting trained, finishing up his internship, so that he will be ready to take care of his wife before they get married. And let me just give you a freebie, girls. If he's in a grandma's basement playing video games all day, wait until he grows up and gets a job before you marry him, because you're not going to grow him up and you will not like being his mama. Find you a man, a boy who can shave is not who you want to marry. All right, some of you are going like, I wish you told me that 20 years ago. I know. He's getting trained to take care of a wife. It's a great custom. By the way, it says to a virgin. and theologians who are educated beyond their intelligence will say, well, it didn't mean that she had to be a virgin. The word means, look, I know what the word means, but she's actually going to say in this conversation, I have not been with a man. And the angel's not going to correct her because it's a miracle. If you cannot believe in miracles, what the frig are you doing? You're in church. God changes us from the inside out. He does miracles every single day. I watch it every time somebody comes to know Christ and they get a brand new nature. I'm not who I used to be. God does miracles. He created everything that exists out of nothing. God does miracles. He parted the Red Sea. Well, you know, I heard it was really just 6 inches of water. That's amazing. 6 inches of water drowned all the Egyptians. That's incredible. That's a miracle too. Yeah. She's going to say it and the angel's not going to correct her. She's engaged to a man named Joseph, betrothed of the house of David. There's more in there, but I'm going to move forward. The virgin's name is Mary. Now, Mary has plans. She's grown up in Nazareth. Her family has grown up in Nazareth. That family's grown up. She grew up next to girls and boys and played with them and knew them, and she's going to, in her plan, she's going to live with them. She's going to be around them. She's going to raise her kids around her friends' kids, and they're going to be friends. And like, she's got her plans. She knows, and everything is set. Joseph is working hard. He's going to be ready to provide for his new wife. They have rock-solid plans. And listen, none of those plans are bad plans. I can't find fault with any of those plans. None of them. They're all good. They're all God-honoring. God made marriage. God gives babies. That's a blessing. God has given them this place. Nazareth is part of the Holy Land. It's all good. That's plan A. That's how it's supposed to be. Right up until the point that God's angel is sent. Because when God's angel comes, when God gets to work, everything changes. Listen, you need to know this, a basic principle of life. When God shows up and begins to do a work among a people who don't, or he never shows up and begins to do a work among a people who don't already have plans and expectations of what their lives should be. God never shows up and begins to do a work among a people who have no plans at all. We all have our plans. I know what I think tomorrow's going to be like. I don't know what God's going to do. I know what I thought my life would be like. It ain't that at all. I was going to own a bunch of businesses, entrepreneur. I know what I was going to be. God totally interrupts your plans. And those plans and those expectations we have are illusions. No one lives a plan A life. Listen, how many of you in here, you're thinking about what life was going to be like, and you're saying, this is exactly what my marriage was going to be like. This is exactly what my kids are going to be like. This is exactly where I was going to work. This is exactly where I was going to live. This. How many of you are living a plan A life, exactly what you thought it was going to be? Oh, good, none of us lie. That's good. That's good. Yeah, no one lives that. And the process of seeing it change is known as disillusionment. And you have a choice when disillusionment comes. Because that's you, right? We're all disillusioned. None of us got what we thought we would. Nobody lives a plan A life. That's getting ready to happen to Mary. The angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. The word for favored, it's karatao, but it literally is the same word for grace. For grace you've been saved through faith, right? And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. She's done nothing to earn this. It doesn't take anything away from her, listen, but she's done nothing to earn this. She's just like you, just like me. Really, there's nothing special. God doesn't say, all right, you're amazing, you're incredible, I'm so impressed, I'm going to let you have my... No, God says, you're a regular person like the rest of us. I'm going to give you my child. She's highly favored. The Lord is with you. This is about favor, and God's going to mess up her plans. She was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Deeply troubled, don't pass this by. Greatly agitated. You ever been like on the edge of a panic attack? Do you know what that feels like? Like, man, you just, oh my gosh, what do I, you just feel like crazy inside, like I'm going a million miles. That's where she's greatly agitated. What kind of greeting? What do you mean greatly favored? The Lord has favored me, highly favored. She's poor, she's illiterate, she lives in Nazareth. She's ordinary in every way. And she hears favored and she's thinking, how am I favored? How could the Lord be with me? Who am I to be graced? I'm not rich. The rich people are graced. The poor people means that they hadn't done enough. God isn't pleased with them. That's what they thought. I'm not a man. Men are more valued. I'm just some poor woman. I get my value from him marrying me and me having hopefully a son. That's what she would have thought at that in that time in that age. She is greatly agitated. Then the angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with you. Did you catch a second time? Two times, back to back, you have found favor with God. God is grace. Now, why would you be afraid? Why? Don't be afraid. Well, you're standing in the presence of an angel who himself stands in the presence of God. And every time an angel appears, they have to say, don't be afraid. Because you're in the presence of someone who stands in the presence of God. And there's something different about those beings that stand in the presence of God. Well, let me go one step further. I want to be careful here. When you walk with God closely, there will be something different about you. And you don't have to put it on. In fact, you can't. There will be something different about you to the degree you walk with him. Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus. In other words, don't worry about the baby book. I got the name. He named John. Now he's naming Jesus. God likes to name kids. He'll make the decision. You don't have to even worry. We were always thinking, Frank, no, he's going to be Jesus, which is good because I don't know that I want to pledge my heart to Frank. I don't think that works. Now, this is a blessing. And she's thinking like, okay, great to know, right? I'll be wedded to Joseph soon, and this is great. I'm going to give him a son, and every man in that day and that age wants a son more than they want a daughter. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's true. And so she's thinking, this is awesome. He will be great, what we call the Son of the Most High. Uh-oh, this is where it begins to go off the rails. God doesn't have sons. He is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one God. This is the Shema. Every Jew knew this. They finally got it after worshiping all these other gods. They finally got it. There's only one God. And now the angel's saying, no, he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. If he is a son of God, he is God. This is where it goes off the rails. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father, David. Now, when she hears this, she knows. That's the prophecy, right? The throne of his father, David, that's Messiah. It goes even further. He will reign over the house of Jacob, that's Israel, forever. And his kingdom will have no end. So Messiah, through her, a king with a kingdom, and you're going to give birth to this king. Now, she has plans. She has expectations. She's going to marry Joseph. He's going to be a carpenter and live in the same town that she grew up in, that he grew up in. Hopefully, she'll live long enough to see her kids get married and have kids. Maybe she will, maybe not, but that's what she hopes. But no, you're going to have a king. He's going to be a Messiah over the house of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And just so that we're quick, just so that we understand, just quickly, if you're in here and you're not a Jew, you don't own this thing. This came through the Jews by God's grace. You got grafted in according to Romans. You are not, this is not your thing, and you get to look down on the Jews. Please don't ever go Kanye. Don't ever go Kanye. Pray for Kanye, but don't go Kanye. You're not that. You need to be humble about this thing. God still loves his people, the Jews. There will be a time for them. This is the time of the Gentiles. But you need to understand, we got in on this. By the grace of God alone, nothing you did got you in. Even if you grew up in church and your father built the church, it doesn't matter. We're grafted in. His kingdom will have no end. And here's the thing. His people are going to want an earthly king. When he comes, his people are going to want an earthly king. They have plans. They have God-honoring plans. And so Jesus is going to come to his people. They're going to think this must be Messiah. And they're going to think you're going to kick the Romans out of the Holy Land and we're going to get our land back. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good desire. But God never shows up and begins to do a work among a people who don't already have plans and expectations of what their lives should be. And if something good begins to happen, it's very human that we have expectations for that and we want control. Are you following me? So if something good happens, I have expectations for what it's going to look like and I want to control it. How many of you got married knowing exactly what your marriage is going to be like? Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? It didn't work out that way, did it? You married somebody else, they got their own desires. I was going to walk on the beach every single day. We don't even live near a beach. I had all sorts of plans. We want control. And so the Jews are going to say, oh, Messiah is here? Hey, that's great. He's going to free us from Rome. He's going to kick Rome out, and he's going to become a king. Not so fast, sunshine. They're not going to get what they want. And the Jews, if you'll remember, are going to become very disillusioned. And in their disillusionment, they're going to become bitter And they're going to mock Jesus as he dies. When they realize that they're not getting what they want, that's what's going to happen. Because that's what happens sometimes with disillusionment. When disillusionment happens, when your plans fall apart, and they will, we've already established that, you can become bitter and depressed looking backward and at what's missing. And the thing is, it won't change things. It just makes you bitter and small, right? That's a fool's errand. Or you can embrace the change and trust God in it. And those are the choices, bitter and disillusioned, or embrace the change and trust God in it, looking forward and living by faith. The Jews as a whole will become disillusioned, bitter. So the question is for us, what is Mary going to do? She's going to have a baby. He's going to be Messiah. And she's got a question because women are smart and they're practical and they've got questions and how is this going to work? And so she's got a question coming up. Betrothed Mary hears this. Listen, you're going to conceive. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus, Son of the Most High, Throne of David, reign over Jacob, no end to his kingdom. And Mary has a question. After I get married, right? Like, it's going to be Joseph's kids after I get married, right? Because she's practical. How's the process going to work? Men are not practical. I'm going to buy a boat. Hon, we don't live near water. Yeah, but I'm going to have a boat. It's going to be awesome. We're going to go out. We don't live near water, and we can't afford it. But I'm going to have a boat. Men are not practical. Women are practical. Thank God for you, women. You kind of pull us back from the edge sometimes. Yeah. So Mary asked the angel, how can this be since I have not had sexual relations with a man? I ain't married yet. Virgin, parthenos, that's a word. And the angel doesn't argue because it's true, because this is going to be a miracle. And what she's saying is this, please tell me, please tell me, it's after I get married to Joseph. Otherwise, everything goes off the rails. And I mean everything goes off the rails. Unmarried, pregnant, not Joseph's child. He's going to leave her. I mean, would you? Girlfriend comes up to you and says, hey, I know we were waiting until marriage, just went, I'm pregnant, but it's God, so it's everything's cool. You good with that, guys? Baby, we got to get you some mental help. Something going, like if you really, either you think I'm a fool or you done gone crazy, right? She will be the town whore. That's the way she'll be known in that day and that age. These days, we'd put her on some talk show and celebrate her alternative life. But she would be the town whore, the outcast. As a single mother, she's going to either have to beg for food or prostitute. Those are your choices, that day, that age, trying to raise a kid, trying to make ends meet. She would be all of these things. So everything would go off the rails if it happens before she gets married to Joseph. Mary has plans. They're God-honoring plans, and God has work to do, so Mary is going to be disillusioned. So please, angel, tell me it's going to be after I marry Joseph and that this will be his son. He'll want a son anyway, so this is wonderful if it is. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It's going to be a miracle. The word for overshadow literally means cast shade. We mean something different these days. But the shade of God, the shadow of God, the cloud of God was the glory of God. You're going to experience His glory, and in that glory, you're going to wind up pregnant. That's coming. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is a miracle. God is the Father. Yeah. And that is only hard to believe if you discount the fact that God created everything, that you're made in His image, that God split the Red Sea, that the Egyptians were drowned in it, and all the rest, that lepers were healed, that the blind received their sight, that those who couldn't hear began to hear, that God did these things. Either we serve a God who does miracles, including changing us from the inside out, which is one of the greatest miracles of all. He puts a new nature within us. Or we have the moralistic dead religion of men. It's one or the other. Either God does miracles, or our religion is just a bunch of morals, and we're wasting our time. It doesn't seem possible. It's never been done before. There's no history on this. Like when something happens, you look back and what has happened? You Google it. Like what's going on? What has happened in the past? There's no history on this. She can't look back to anyone who has ever been a virgin who got pregnant. There's no history. And the angel knows Mary needs more than just this. And so here's where he gets kind of gossipy. He's going to tell her something she don't know, and she wouldn't know because they ain't got Facebook yet. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Remember the old woman, 6 month? Yeah. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 month for her, who was called childless. In other words, you're wondering how this miracle is going to happen? Let me show you another one. Let me tell you about another one. Elizabeth's day for babies is gone. It's impossible. She's disillusioned. And then God makes plans for her to be, or she made plans to be childless, and God gives her a child, and she's disillusioned yet again. It's a miracle. She's too old to have a baby, just like a miracle for a virgin to conceive and have a child. God never shows up and begins to do a work among a people who don't already have plans and expectations for what their lives should be. And take note, guys, that's true of you as well. If you're saying, God, I need you to work in my life, understand, he's going to explode all your expectations. And you won't always like the way it goes, but he will always be good, and you can trust him always. You pray, God, show yourself to me. God, use me. God, help me. Plan on God making some changes. Because if you stay exactly like you are, God ain't showed up. Consider your relative Elizabeth. She's conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God, because impossible is God's starting point. And miracles are a function of our God's grace, unearned. And they're going to mess up your expectations of how things should be. The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for nothing will be impossible with God. And then, after he says all of this, silence. Nothing. Mary is considering, and you need to know the angel is waiting. This isn't forced on her. She could argue. Lord, choose someone else. Lord, I'm not sure. I don't know that I... She could. And if she says, absolutely, I'm in, everything goes sideways. It goes off the rails. All of her plans are thrown out the door. She says yes. And if you'll notice, listen, the angel never says, but trust me, here's how it's going to go. And everything's, he doesn't give her everything's going to be okay in advance. That's why it's called walking by faith. Have you ever noticed that? You take a step of faith and God leads, and God doesn't say, now here's what's going to happen when you take that step, right? It's going to be a little rough at first, and then you're going to do this. And he doesn't give you all of that. He just says, trust me. That's faith. If you can see it in advance and you know it in advance, that's sight, that's not faith. She's not married to Joseph. This isn't Joseph's son. And I wouldn't believe the story. What will this mean for her? None of it will be easy if she says yes. If she doesn't argue the point. And the angel is sitting there waiting. There's silence, waiting for her to answer. Disillusionment produces bitterness and depression, or trying to forget those dreams. Or it will produce acceptance, faith, and trust in a God who knows what he's doing. She's got a choice to make. The angel's waiting. 30 years from this time here, the Jews are going to become bitter and disillusioned. With Mary, the jury is still out. What's she going to say? Our decisions always come out of who we are. Identity determines destiny. If you know who you are, then your decisions are easy, right? All of her life, she's had hopes and dreams all of her life. She's going to be pregnant. No way Joseph is going to buy this. The townspeople are going to talk about her. And by the way, they do. Listen, they do. They do. We know they do. Jesus, later in his life, they're going to say, we don't know whose you are. They're literally going to call back to, we don't know what your mother did with someone else. Literally, that's going to happen in the life of Christ in the book of John. There's always going to be that little gossip about Jesus. Mary had expectations, she had dreams, she knew how her life was going to be, and God is seeking to change every single one of them. This is going to be pain for her. It's going to be pain for Joseph as he likely walks away and thinks, what, I wasn't good enough for her to wait? It's going to hurt, man. It's got to. She's disillusioned. The blessing seems like a curse. Let me say it one more time. Who you are, how you see yourself, your identity in light of who God is determines what you do in the pivotal moments of your life. Am I mine to do as I see fit with my life, or do I belong to him? Do I trust him? Do I follow by faith? Because it can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. I follow him by faith or I do what I want, self-directed or God-directed. And this is the moment that exposes whether or not you truly know Jesus. That's where we're going with her. Do you truly trust God? Check it out. I'm the Lord's servant. There's identity. This is who I am. I am the Lord's servant. I'm Mary, daughter of whoever her parents are. We don't even know. Don't think about them. From Nazareth, who grew up here, who wants, but I am the Lord's servant. That's who I am. I'm betrothed to Joseph. I'm pledged to Mary, but I'm the Lord's servant. That's my identity. Dude, listen. It's always a good day when your pastor calls you dude. Listen. Your primary identity is in Christ if you know him. And if it's not, you need to know him and walk with him. That's your identity. That's who you are. And everything else will flow from it. When you got Jesus at the top, that's my identity. That's who I am. I belong to him. That I will be a better husband, better wife, better child, better parent, better employee, better. When I walk with Jesus first and foremost, Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. I know who I am. I belong to him. When you know who you are and what you're about, then you know what you will and will not do, and it naturally follows. I'm God's slave. I'm his servant. I belong to him. I'm not my own. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel waits to hear that first. Then he leaves. He was waiting for her answer. This isn't going to be easy. Messiah must be born in Bethlehem. That's the prophecy. Now, how's that going to happen? She going to go to Bethlehem? She knows some of the prophecies. She's grown up with this stuff. Oral tradition, she knows a lot of this stuff. Herod is going to try to kill Jesus. They're going to have to run to Egypt. She's going to think Jesus, her son, is crazy at one point. Take the brothers and try to pull them out of a house. She'll start to believe. She'll follow. She'll believe he is Messiah. She'll see healings. And then she's going to have to be there watching her son hang naked and ashamed on a cross as people mock and laugh. None of this will be easy. But I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And God rarely tells his servants that everything will be okay. And sometimes it's not okay. Can we just be honest about that? Sometimes it's not. But he does call us to follow. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the short term is our lives, and it's not always good and right and easy, but it is right to follow him. And this isn't what we live for. There's more after this. You will face disillusionment, especially if you follow the Lord. But you'll find God's blessings when you embrace reality and trust God regardless. Okay, my illusion was my marriage was going to be this way. The reality is, he's straight crazy. She's nuts. The kids, they don't do what I say. Right? Okay. I can get bitter. Or I can say, this is my reality. How do I serve God in this situation? How do I be what God wants me to be in this situation? Right? But I wanted my parents and they weren't. And why weren't other kids got good parents? Why did mine leave me? God is the father to the fatherless. He loves you. Embrace reality. Nothing takes God by surprise. Before you had the problem, God had the solution. But I can't believe that she left me. I can't believe that he walked away. I can't. Yeah. They screwed up. Don't tell me God can't redeem the situation. Don't tell me he didn't know in advance. He knows what he's doing, and you can trust him. And he will redeem even the worst for his good, because that's who he is. That's what our faith is. Genesis 3:15 is called the protevangelium. Big old word. There's your word for today. You want to yell at somebody out the window this week in traffic? Protevangelium! Heck, did they call me? Pro. What? It'll just be fun for you. They won't know what you're talking about. Literally, it means first gospel. It's in Genesis 3:15. And the idea is this, that the fall has happened, and God says, hey, I already got the solution. Guess what? Your seed, Eve, talking about Jesus, he's going to come. And Satan is going to bruise his heel. There's the cross, but he's going to crush his head. He ends the enemy and ends the consequences, the eternal consequences of sin at the cross. He already has the solution before you got the problem. That's who our God is. Embrace the disillusionment instead of burying your head in stuff and try not to see it, or getting bitter and disillusioned and depressed, embrace it and say, okay, God, now what are you going to do? Because you ain't done with me yet. I'm still breathing. What are you going to do, God? I trust you. When I lay down my picture of how things ought to be, and I embrace God's plan for me, I'm leaving my limitations behind, and I'm fighting for his blessings. So what are you angry about? What disillusionment have you faced? Because we all got them, every single one of us. Is it marital? Is it maybe your kids? Maybe your parents? Is it money? Is it job? Is it health? Because it is what it is. You're not changing that. The question is, how will you respond to what it is? Will you embrace the truth of where you are and begin to trust God through it? That's the call. And it starts with your need for a Savior if you don't know him yet. Secondly, understanding your identity in him and placing your faith in him. That's where we go. So I'm going to pray for us. And in a minute, as I'm praying, the band will come up.